is Jesus Christ.
Come up here with me. I got a story to tell. I got a story that goes right along with the death story. A number of years ago, a friend invited me to go deer hunting with him. He said, it's one of the largest bucks up here in Niola. And I said, I want you to go, and I'm going to put you in the best place. And I'm going to get up on the hill. So he did. And I sat there, and I sat there. And I said, man, I'm wasting a lot of time here. So I get my Bible out, and I start reading Scripture. My friend's up on the hill. He's got the rifle pointed at me, looking through the scope. He said, I cannot believe it. I bring him deer hunting, and he's down there reading the Bible. And then all at once, I happened to look up. He's doing this to me. And I said, what in the world's going on? I turned around. It was one of the biggest bucks that I have ever seen, was standing right behind me. I shot that buck and got him too. Take your Bible with you, brother. Where'd you go?
I don't want to one-up you. But just last week, I had a deer come in. I was bow hunting, but I had my rifle with me. And it went out and bedded down, and about 2 hours later, after I had a nap and all this stuff, I was trying to figure out how to shoot this deer. And a friend of mine said, well, don't you have something with you? Ain't you got a water bottle? I was like, I ain't got no water bottle or nothing. But I got a devotional.
Amen.
Now, don't get too far out there. Don't get mad with me. But I threw the devotion at him and shot the deer.
Oh, my gracious. Well, I'll tell you. We have heard some deer stories tonight, amen? I'll tell you, isn't it good when you go and have fun in church and just kind of let your hair down a little bit, amen? You know, I believe it's what it's going to be like in heaven. I don't believe that it's going to be a lot of fancy stuff going on, but I believe that there's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I believe God has got everything planned for us that makes us happy up there. I hope you'll come tomorrow night. I wanted to preach it tonight, and the Lord told me no. And I'm praying He'll let me preach it tomorrow night. I want to bring a message on angels unaware. There's plenty, plenty angels, and God has a whole lot to say about angels that we entertain. They are all around us. And the Scripture has a lot to say about them. And I hope that you'll come tomorrow night, bring some people with you, and you just tell them that that gray-headed preacher is going to preach on angels tomorrow night. Because the Bible certainly has a lot to say. And one thing that really caught my attention, angels are ministering spirits sent by God to minister, to help us, to protect us. It's so many things, and I want you to be sure, be here tomorrow night, bring your Bible with you, and we'll bring a message, Lord willing, on entertaining angels unaware. I've got some stories that I definitely want to share with you about my experience in entertaining some angels. And I know as well as I'm standing here, I have. So I hope that you'll be back tomorrow night, bring people with you. And who knows, we might have another deer story tomorrow night. Amen? But anyway, what a Savior that we have. Helen, thank you so much for getting my water. Amen? I was drinking water at another church, and all at once a man stood up. Hey, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. Don't put the fire out. Let it burn. But that's not what happened with the water. Well, it's good to be in God's house. Didn't you enjoy that singing tonight? Amen. Woo, glory. Y'all got to forgive me. I get a little carried away when I hear songs about Jesus. When I got saved, everything about me got saved. Amen? And I just can't sit still when the Spirit of God is moving in me. And I'll tell you what, those songs, they just bless my heart so much tonight. The whole day has been blessed. Church, do you realize how good God has been to you? Man, he has blessed this church. Wow. I mean, to see that, man, somebody told me, what was it, Helen, were you telling me? It was, somebody said it was 30-some young people up here this morning. I mean, praise God. That's the future of the church. And you know, God's just blessing here. And don't you have a great pastor? Don't you have a great pastor? I'll tell you, you do. And I'll tell you what, behind every great pastor, there's always a great wife. Amen? Amen. But I thought this morning that, I don't know, just bless my heart so much. And I look forward to coming here. And I call this my home church. Is that okay? Three of you said it's okay. All right. So that's what we'll do. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, tonight to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Thank you for standing. Amen. While you're standing, I just thought about something. I had something happen to me last Thursday in revival. Preacher, I don't know if it's ever happened to you or not. But someone had cut down a telephone pole with his car, killed all of the electricity, and I pulled in to Jordan Baptist Church, and it was just as dark as it could be. And I'm saying, I don't know if we're going to be able to have service tonight. And all at once, I saw the preacher come and drive his car right up to the double door, had the light shining in. Two deacons were one on one side, one on the other, opened the door and drove the car in as far as they could in the church. We had church. I don't know how many people's out there. I couldn't see past the second row. But I know that we had church Thursday night. And so anyway, where there's a will, there's a way. Amen? Let's give our undivided attention tonight to God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, hang on to that, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, hang on to that. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. How'd you like to have Paul praying for you night and day? Wouldn't that be fantastic? I'll guarantee you, if it wasn't for prayer, most of you would not be here tonight. Somebody invested time in prayer for you. I'll tell you what a difference prayer makes. Ladies, thank y'all for singing about prayer tonight. Whew. I think about prayer. Oh, without prayer, nothing happens. Amen? This church is built on prayer, I promise you. People pray. Again, let's go to him in prayer. Pastor, ask God's blessing on the preaching tonight. Yes. If you don't do it, if you don't do it, it'll stop. Amen. Thank you. You know, Paul emphasizes something so important right in that first verse. He says, I've got a calling by the will of God. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but when I got saved and when I was called to preach, I knew that God had spoken to me. I knew that He had. I had a good job. God had blessed me, and I thought I was going to be there for the rest of my life. But then when God spoke to me, I knew just as clear as it could be that it was Him. And you probably heard me say, I threw a saddle on the old horse, and I rode up on the side of the mountain where I have a prayer altar, and I got down on my knees around that old prayer altar and sat on the old log, and I said, God, I'm not leaving until I know that this is what the calling is, that You want me to go and to preach the gospel. And, boy, I'll never forget that. I stayed there a few hours, and, boy, that old horse heard some good praying, too. But I'll never forget that time. Oh, I left on that mountain shouting and praising God. And I went and told my wife, I said, listen, I've been called by God to preach. I didn't understand why she didn't get happy too. She said, I didn't get the calling, it was you. But I knew exactly what God had done. And you know, I look back, and that's one thing that I know that I was called by God. Pastor Martin, you could say the same thing. You know, you testified some this morning about when God called you to go into the ministry and to preach the Word of God. Friend, let me tell you, when God calls you, whether it's to sing, whether it's to preach, whether it's to teach, whatever that He's calling you, don't ever say no to God. Say, oh, yes, Lord, thank You for calling me. There's nothing any greater that has any greater blessings than to answer the call of God and to do what God is calling you to do. And old Paul is saying, he is driving that home. Now look what he says in verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what Paul is saying here to Timothy? He said, Timothy, you're my son. You're my son. You know, I've got a dear friend. His name is Otis Wright. Otis is 92 years old. And Otis got saved in my revival meeting. And, I mean, he got a full bucket full. I mean, he just loved Jesus. And man, every time the doors is open, old Otis is right there. And so I do this a lot of times. If he's driving and attending my revival meeting, I'll make an announcement. I've got my son here with me tonight. And people start looking around like, he's got his son here. He's got his son here. And I said, Otis, stand up. He's my son. And Otis will stand up. He don't have too many teeth, and he just grins at him and looks at him. And one of the ladies on the front row I could hear, she said, why, he looks older than his daddy, doesn't he? And you know what? He's my son. He's my son spiritually. He's my son. And thank God. Preacher, you've got some sons here. Got some daughters here that you've led to Christ. And you're training them. You're feeding them. And I've got just about every church that I get into, I've got some sons there. And, you know, has nothing any great. And this is what Paul is saying here. Timothy, you're my beloved. I love you. You're my son in the ministry. And you know, he said something else that has really, really blessed me. He said, I laid my hand on you, and I prayed for you. You know, I remember a few years back, Dr. Adrian Rogers, y'all have probably heard Adrian preach, and I've had the opportunity to have two or three meals with him and to meet him. He's just He's my favorite preacher. And so Brother Aaron, he said, Earl, is there anything I can do for you? Anything that I can do for you? We'd been to Romania, and he served on the same board over there with Dr. Peter Vaidu. And so I got to know him through that. And I said, Brother Aaron, there's one thing I would really like for you to do. He said, Earl, what's that? Would you lay your hand on me and pray that God would bless my ministry? He said, it'd be an honor. And I never will forget. Adrian Rogers put his hand on my head and began to pray. Tears began to roll off my cheek. I felt hot tears hitting my hand that Adrian Rogers was shed. You know what? I think this meant something to Paul. He said, Timothy, I laid my hand on you. When you were called, when God said, I'm going to bless your ministry, I laid my hand on you and I prayed for you. And he said, Timothy, there are some things that I want to bring to your attention now. You are my son, but I see some things in your life that you need to get back on stream again. He loved it. You know what? When you love someone, you can share with them if you see them slacking up a little bit. You're doing it because you love them. Now, the first thing that I see here that he makes it so plain. Look with me in verse 6 and 7. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. He is stirring up. He said, he's saying to him, Timothy, you need to get stirred up. And maybe you are here tonight. And maybe you need to get stirred up tonight. What is he saying tonight to Timothy? Timothy, maybe you're slacked up a little bit in preaching your word. Maybe you don't preach it like you used to. Timothy, there are some things that I see that you are kind of slacking up a little bit. And you know, that word stir up, it kind of means fire up. You need to get fired up again. You know what? You just think about when you first got saved, you'd witness to a telephone pole. If a dog came by your yard, you'd start witnessing to the dog. I mean, you would witness and tell everybody what Jesus Christ had done for you. Your past had been forgiven. There was joy unspeakable in your life. And you know what? What happens? Watch this. Brother Billy kind of brought it out a little bit in Sunday school this morning. What happens when you lose your joy? Everybody around you now. Are all y'all happy tonight? Would the rest of you notify your face? Give me a smile. Come on. Come on. Now you're doing better. You know what? This ought to be, we ought to be more joy in God's house than anywhere else that we go. Oh, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. This place this morning, I'll tell you, it shook me good. Woo! And I'll say, it's been a long time. It's been a long, long time since I felt the Spirit in it stronger than he was here. Now, he's here tonight. Amen? Amen. And this morning, I'll tell you, with all these young people up here singing, gracious me, I mean, say they were putting it out. Even the preacher's wife got excited, didn't she? Man, you know what? That's the way it ought to be. If you can't get excited at Calvary Cross Baptist Church, I'll take you to another Calvary Cross. And it's not like this one. It's not like the weather brother that drives 100 miles back here. Amen. You know what? It's a whole lot better to drive 100 miles and get fed than go across the street and get fooled.
Amen, brother.
I think that's pretty good, don't you, Helen? Man, you know, that's where it ought to be. Thank God, friend, that you're getting fed. This church right here is on fire for the Lord. Man, you're moving. Great day. I mean, boy, look at the crowd even here tonight. I mean, this is good. It's going to be better tomorrow night.
Amen.
Amen. We'll fill this place up here this week. Amen. And you know what? That's where it ought to be. We ought to be so filled with the Spirit of God that we love the Lord, that we are just telling everybody about. And this is what Paul is saying. Timothy, you need to get stirred up. You need to get fired up. You need to get back preaching the gospel with some conviction. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to get fired up before I leave, okay? Man, look what he is saying here. And then I see something here. He said, look at verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think about what we have. Man, look what we have. God has given us not fear, but he's given us boldness and courage, and he's given us the power. I left today from a motel over there, and wasn't many people there tonight, and I just had stopped by, and I said, told the lady there, I said, I didn't see any homemade cookies out here tonight. What's going on? She said, we didn't make any. I said, well, why not? She kind of smiled a little bit. I said, I'm going to be back through here in a little bit. I want you to read this track. My track is, if you only have 5 minutes left, would you just read it, and then when I come back tonight, I'll stop here, and I'll eat your cookie, and then you can tell me what you think about this track. She said, okay. I said, I might be a little late tonight because I got a little long sermon, but I'll be back. We never know. We never, never know. Watch this one. Watch this one. This happened on the other side of Remington, Virginia. I got there on a Saturday. The preacher and his wife and myself went out for an evening meal. And the man that came to service to wait on us, I gave him a five-minute track. I said, sir, would you mind reading this and just tell me what you think about it? He said, oh, sure. You look like a college student. So he read it. In a few minutes, he came back. He didn't have any food with him. He said, can I sit down here beside you? I said, you sure can. He said, this thing has tore me up. He said, if this track is right, if I die right now, I'm going to spend eternity in hell. And if I don't have 5 minutes left, I got to get saved. So help me. So I said, man, we can handle that right now. He said, let's do it. So right there, he prayed and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now watch this. The story doesn't end there. He goes back into the kitchen, and he starts to witnessing to people in the kitchen back there. And he says to them, he said, whoo, I got saved. Why don't you all get saved? They said, well, where can we go to get saved? Follow me, follow me. Three of them out of the kitchen came, and they sat down at our booth. We didn't have any food. They just sat down and opened the Word of God up, and all three of them prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Whew. That'll fire you up, amen? If I wasn't so spiritual, I'd get up in the chair and shout. Man, think of what is any better than that? Man, that is the greatest thing that can happen. When you see some lost people come into Christ. And you know, all we got to do It just get the word out. Preacher, if you give me permission, I may want to do this tomorrow night. Last week, the revival that I had, it started off dead as a doornail. I mean to say, you couldn't get a holy grunt out of them. They were dead. All 41 of them. The church used to run 200. They were down to 41. So, I think I got in the flesh a little bit. I said, how many here? I said, I'm putting 41 tracks up here. And I would like for everyone in this church to come up and to take one of the tracks, just one, give that track tomorrow to someone, and invite them to the revival. Probably 38 of the people raised a hand, said, I will. It was about 3 that didn't. I shouldn't have done this. I said, why don't you 3 that didn't raise your hand, not willing to do that, why don't y'all just get up and leave? Go on. I've never done that before. They didn't leave, but you know what they did? They raised a hand. We'll come and do it. Watch this. That night when they left, they made a promise, not to me, a promise to God, that they would give a tract to somebody and invite somebody tomorrow night to the revival. Where we had 41, it went to 75. It went to 75. Hey, friend, don't clap yet. Hey, we still had 2 more nights left. The next night, we got over 100. The Thursday night is when the devil showed up and knocked the power down, and we didn't have any lights. I don't know how many was there. I couldn't see past the second row. But I know this, one man got saved. One man got saved. You know what I'm saying? If we just do our part, God always does so much more. So much more. And you know when the cameraman's having a hard time keeping up with me tonight. You know what? I'm having fun, y'all. You know, Satan is after each one of you. Preacher, he doesn't like this church. Preacher, he doesn't like what's going on. And he's going to do everything that he can to hinder you. The first thing, now watch this, he's going to try to steal your joy. And if he can get you sad and you know what happens when you lose your joy? You start complaining. Hey, they done painted their rooms pink back there. They got the wrong carpet down. Woo, getting quiet in there now. Isn't it amazing when we're close to the Lord and happy? You paint it in the color. Praise God. We get people to come and souls to get saved. Look at all these young people. You don't care about that stuff. You know what you care about? Yeah. Glory to God. Look what God is doing here. Yeah. Come on, brother. Yeah. Woo, I hit a nerve, hadn't I? It's true. Don't let Satan steal your joy. The next thing that he'll steal, and we hit it here, he'll steal your boldness. You'll get to the point that you are afraid that everybody out there is going to not like you if you witness to them. I had a man tell me a while back in another church. He said, man, I'm afraid that I am going to hurt them. I said, hey, in the world can you hurt anybody that's lost? If they're lost, how could it be any worse? Man, Thank God. Give them the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes they might not like it. But I've seen this. Sometimes you got to make them mad before they get glad. Amen?
Amen?
Give them the Word. And it's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Give them the Word. Watch this one. I'll tell you what else that devil wants. He wants to get a hold to your ministry. Oh, he'd love to get. Way these ladies were singing tonight. Wow. Don't you think a devil would love to get a hold of them? Those children out there, don't you think a devil would love to get into that? Billy back here been teaching 100 years. Don't you think that the devil would love to get into that class and destroy you? You see, what he's doing, he'll do everything that he can to shut down what God is already starting. Watch out. Don't let him do that. He'll steal it. And then I'll say this, he will steal your life. The devil has got one desire. He wants to take you to hell. Like we preached this morning, if he can get you down, if he can keep you from Jesus, if he can keep you from coming to Christ and repenting, that's what he wants. And that's what he'd love to do. And you know what? This church is on a move. Don't let that happen. I want to encourage you to do something. If you'll do this, God will bless you just as much as he did Jordan. If you would just take one track and give it to one person tomorrow, maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe in a neighborhood, it just may be somewhere. But if you would just take one little tract and say it, give it to them and say, would you come with me tomorrow night to the house of God? That preacher going to be preaching on angels. Have you ever seen anybody wasn't excited about preaching on angels? They'll come. Don't tell them that I've seen one. I know I have, but don't tell them I've seen one. All right? But listen, let's do all that we can. This is a good crowd. But you know what? Wouldn't it be good if some visitor came and somebody got saved? You know what? This is what Paul was saying about Timothy. Timothy, you are my son. You are my son. Don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many people in here, you have led somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have, you'll never forget it. If you have, it's one of the greatest experiences you could ever have. What could be any better than to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. You know what? Devil hates that. Because the Bible says he that winneth souls is what? It's wise. He's wise. Can you imagine the rewards that's going to be in heaven for those who have won others to Christ? And you know, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight to be a soul winner. To be a soul winner. Preacher, I don't know of anything any greater than winning people to Jesus. And you know, they're everywhere. It's a whole lot easier to find sinners than it is going to the woods and find deers. Amen. Amen? Sinners are everywhere. And you know what? They're just waiting. They're just waiting for somebody to tell them about Christ. I was in another town, and I was on the elevator. There's a man on there. He said to me, he said, what floor? I said, top floor. He says, not but four of them. Are you going to the fourth one? I said, well, I'll get off there. But I've got another place that I'm really going, if you really want to know. And, you know, I was able to share with him about Jesus. And you know, right on that elevator, he just prayed and asked the Lord to come into his heart and to save him right there on that elevator. But you know what? Suppose I had said, no, I'm not going to tell you. Suppose I had said, I know, hey, you can go to heaven. And I didn't share it with him. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? And I close with this. And it very well could happen. When you are at the Bema seat, and you're all going, if you're saved, you're going to be there. If Jesus asks you one question, just one, who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you? And you said, Lord, I didn't bring anyone. You mean to say, after, look at my hands. Look at what I have paid that you could be here. I forgave you. And you mean to say, after I have done that for you, and I've commanded you to go out and to witness and to be soul winners, and you did not tell anyone. Wouldn't that be a terrible, terrible thing? The other week, I had 3 funerals in 1 week. Preached a revival. It was a man by the name of Curtis. Curtis, same age that I am, 39. And Curtis, the family had called him and said, Brother Earl, is there any way you could come by and have prayer with Curtis? The whole family was around. And I said, yeah, I'll get by. So I made that visit. I got there. Curtis was in the bed there, and he was kind of coming and going. His whole family was all the way around him. One of his sons is a pastor. And the other, I think it was 4 or 5 of them. And I got down and I walked in. And he said, he'd been calling for you. I said, fine. I knelt on my knees right beside his bed. And I reached over and I laid my hand right on his head. I said, Curtis, in a few minutes, you're going to hear a voice. And the voice is going to say, son, it's time to go home. And all you do when you hear that voice is say, Lord, I'm ready. And he'll come. I had prayer with him. I told Curtis, I said, Curtis, we're the same age. And I'm going to be right behind you. You get there, won't be long, and I'll be right behind you, Curtis. He gave me a little smile, laid down. I got in my car, and his son's name is C.E. C.E. said, Preacher, I'll call you when he passes. We don't have any idea when it's going to be, but I'll call you. And we've already made the funeral arrangements, and we'll let you know. I said, fine. I got in my car, and I drove exactly 2 blocks. I got a phone call. Preacher, Curtis just went home. And then I thought about it. I said, Curtis, I said, I'm going to be right behind you. So anyway, we had to. Some people do it differently. We had 2 funerals for him. We had one at the funeral home, and then the next day, we had that cemetery. So I was out at the cemetery and getting ready to preach, and I looked where his grave is. So help me. My grave site wasn't any farther than where those trees or those seats are over there. I said, Lord, old Curtis not going to be spending a whole lot of time running back and forth together there. Yeah. We never know. We never know. But I'll tell you one thing you do know. You're going to die. you're going to die. Martin, some of the hardest things that I've ever had to do was preach little babies' funerals. I preached one person 100 years old. I preached one that probably didn't live 2 hours. They're hard. But when you know where they are, and you know that you're saved and you're going there to see them, it sure does make a big difference. A big, big difference. Isn't it amazing? We plan for death. We buy cemetery lots. We pick out caskets. We get preachers lined up. We take care of wills. We do all of that stuff. And yet, so many times, we put off the one thing that is most important above everything. Where are you going to go? Where are you going? And I ask you tonight, where are you going to spend eternity? Are you saved? Do you know? I can tell you for sure, you're going to die. The only way you're going to miss it is the rapture. That's the only way. But tonight, you have an opportunity tonight to have your name written down in heaven. What could be any greater than that? Wow! Never to die. Woo! To be with him forever, forever, forever. Tonight, if you're here tonight, now listen to me, I'm closing. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you need to settle it tonight. Tomorrow might be too late. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not either. But we have now. We have right now. Let's make sure tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, settle it tonight. If you're here tonight and you've got a hope so salvation, settle it tonight. That you can know for sure. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, this night. This is the most important night maybe in your life. Might be the last one, but you have right now. How many could say, thank God I can go back, preacher, to a time and a place that I know, that I know, that I know God saved me. I haven't been the same since I got saved. I have a peace and a joy that only can come from him. Preacher, my life has changed. I read my Bible daily. I pray. I fellowship with the Lord. Yeah, I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new creature. And glory to God, I've got a home in heaven. Can you say that tonight? If you can, lift your hands high and hold them up and say, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Nothing gets any better. Nothing. Think you may take them down. Maybe you're here tonight. You couldn't do that. Wouldn't you? Don't you want that? Don't you want to go to heaven? The price has been paid. That was paid on Calvary. What Jesus tells us, if we will repent of our sins, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm sorry. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And then if we'll do this by faith, if we will invite Christ to come into our hearts to be our Savior, isn't it amazing what he'll do? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What could be any plainer? If you need that tonight, right where you're seated, give your heart to Jesus tonight. Oh, I beg you tonight. This may be the last night. We don't know. He is coming. Give your heart to Jesus tonight. Pray a simple prayer from your heart to His heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent. I'm sorry for my sins. I have failed you. I don't deserve heaven. But Jesus died and paid my sin debt. And Father, tonight, I repent. I turn to you. I turn to Christ tonight. And I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me. Write my name down in heaven. And Lord, help me from this night forward to live for you. I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you tonight for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'd say tonight, Brother Earl, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I prayed it from my heart. And I'm so glad tonight I've settled it. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. If you prayed that prayer from your heart to God's heart tonight, just slip your hand up and take it right back down. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anyone at all tonight? Anyone at all? Don't want to miss you. Don't want to miss anyone tonight. Praise God. Praise God. So if a rapture would occur tonight, you'd be in heaven. Isn't it wonderful? What could be any better than that? Now let me ask another question tonight. I mean, it's here tonight, and you said, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm saved, but I sure do need a closer walk with Christ. God spoke to my heart tonight. I need that. Slip your hand up, say, Lord, I need that. I just want to rededicate my life afresh right where I am, right where I am, Lord. I need that. I need that. Don't we need it? Let me ask one other question before we stand. I mean, going to be honest, and I said, I need revival. God, when you preached that night about what Paul said, you need stirred up. You need fired up. You need more boldness. I mean, it's here tonight. He said, preacher, I need that. Oh, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. Yes, don't we need it? Don't we need it? Tonight, we're going to stand. As she continues to play. My prayer is tonight, would you join me around this altar tonight? We're going to have a season of prayer that God would just put a hedge about us, give us more boldness, give us more opportunities, fire us up. Let revival burn deep in our hearts tonight. Would you do that tonight? Let's stand right now. That you need tonight. Make your way to an old-fashioned altar. That's right. Just come on. Come on.